This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is the Bish here from the Hump Day Crew. You're tuned into one of our podcasts. Enjoy.
Hey, this is Peter Page.
Hey, how you doing? This is Scott Lowell.
Hello, this is Taya Gill. Hi, this is Michelle Clenny.
Hey, this is Hal Sparks.
Hi, this is Robert Gann.
Hi, I'm Sharon Gliss.
You are listening to the Hump Day Crew.
You're with the Hump Day Crew.
The Hump Day Crew.
The Hump Day Crew on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
We have to stop now.
Oh dear, the gloves are off. Here's a cause for alarm.
I suddenly have the urge to climb Dante's Cove or move to Beverly Hills 90210.
Is this the point where you let out a hideous scream? Give it 2 seconds and the windows will be shattered. I guess our three-way is about to get more exciting. Do you know how cool our next guest is? She could teach us a thing or two about the benefits of drinking whiskey using a tube.
Oh, are we talking to her today? Well, I'd better fetch Tranny MacGyver, Zoe Duncan, Jack, and Jane. I'd hate for those pleasure drivers to miss this. Bish, can you go get the others and so they don't feel like a fish out of water?
Of course. How could we ever forget Rick and Steve, the happiest gay couple in the world? We're going to still invite Slate and Kelly, and then came Lola?
Oh, perhaps leave Lola out of this one. You wouldn't want to get in her line of fire after she was out at the wedding.
Good idea, Jenny. Otherwise, it would be a recipe for disaster. So crossing our X's and O's, I think we have just about everyone.
I think it's time to come up from the Violet Underground and make way for a lady who definitely has no expiration date. Jill Bennett, welcome to the Hump Day Crew.
Oh, my God. That was awesome.
Morning.
Hello. Great introduction.
Well, as you can tell, we don't have much to do here in Australia.
We're just sitting around.
I love it there. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't have enough time to do what I wanted to do when I was there a few. So well, that was so awesome. Thank you, guys.
No problem. When were you in Australia, Jill?
I was actually there a few years ago when I was filming in Her Light of Fire. I filmed that in Auckland, and then after I was done, I just hopped on a plane and went to Sydney, and I was there for a week by myself. And I didn't have a chance to go up the coast or go anywhere else, but I had an absolute blast.
It's a lovely place. We're based down in Melbourne, so next time you come over, you better get down here and see Melbourne and see us.
I would love to.
First of all, congratulations on all the success of And Then Came Lola. I hear the world premiere was sold out, and I heard it's going pretty well at Outfest as well.
Yeah, we were pleasantly surprised with, you know, the outcome of the screening. We had a little party to go to before, and then we walked to the theater from the party, and there was a line of women around the block, and we thought that those were just the people waiting to get in. Those were the people hoping to get a rush ticket. And it went like three blocks around the theater. And then people were telling us that they were trying to hawk tickets on Craigslist and eBay. And we're like, oh my God, we should have bought out a bunch of tickets and sold them. Yeah, it was really fun, and the Castro's a, you know, like 1,400 or 1,500 seat theater, and people were really excited after, and we sold out Outfest, and we're making the film festival circuit right now. I think we're set for at least 5 more, and apparently they're working out the details of many, many more. So we're thrilled, absolutely thrilled.
Started off on a controversial foot with Facebook rejecting the ad. Do you think that was a reflection towards the movie itself, or censorship or homophobia?
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, it's more titillating to say that it was homophobic, but I don't think necessarily that it was. I just think it was a consequence of the machine that Facebook has become, meaning there really wasn't a person looking at the demographics of the ad that they were trying to reach. They just saw the photo and then thought, oh, this is too, you know, racy or whatever it may be, without looking at the fact that it was geared specifically toward lesbians. And that's the genius of the Facebook ads. And a lot of people don't really understand how they work, in that you can specifically target a demographic, and the ad literally won't be seen on anybody's page that doesn't specify either gay or lesbian or over the age of 18, or, you know, it's going to people who want to see it. And so I think they just didn't take the time to look at it. And when all the, you know, blogosphere blew up about it,
blogosphere.
An actual human being looked at it and said, oh, okay, well, this is, you know, we're not gearing this towards kids. We're not gearing this towards people who might find it offensive. This is geared toward its audience. And they approved the ad. But to be honest, it was a stroke of luck for us because it, you know, it gave us some free publicity, which is always a good thing for a low budget film.
Maybe you can, because at the moment we haven't been privy to And Then Came Lola. If you can give us a sort of a short précis and where you as Casey comes into it.
The film is how it's always been described, as a sexy, fun romp. And that's not a common, unfortunate In our community, we don't get a lot of that. A lot of our films tend to be overly political or about death or cancer or coming out or whatever the case. This is just a fun time. And what's also great about it is that it takes place in a lesbian world. It's all women. It's, you know, there's no, like I said, it's not a coming out story. There's no angst about our sexuality. We just are who we are. And it's a slice, you know, a day in the life of a group of lesbians. And, you know, it's fun and it's sexy and it's fast paced and you'll have a good time.
Hmm. Well, fingers crossed, because we heard a rumor on the grapevine that it might be coming to Melbourne next year for our Melbourne Queer Film Festival. So we'll have to go check it out, Bish.
Yes, I think we will.
Absolutely, and we're hoping to get the opportunity to travel and to come to some of these film festivals. That's always, for me, Kathy and I got to go to Tokyo last summer for Out at the Wedding, and to be able to go and then to be, you know, immersed in the gay community of that particular city is always, you know, the most fun for us. That's, you know, that's the most interesting part of being an actor, so... we would love to get down there for the film.
Well, we'll keep an eye out for that. And I know you've probably spoken about this a number of times, but the infamous sandwich shot that that led to the Facebook being obviously rejected.
Well, it's interesting because the story of the movie is not that shot. I am actually in the middle of these two women. So it's interesting, but that was the shot that worked. That was the shot that everybody looked at and said, there's a story going on there. And, you know, they wrestled with whether or not to use it just for the simple fact that that's not what the story is about. The story is about that I'm sort of in the middle of these two people. And then they were like, that doesn't really matter. The truth is that it's a provocative, sexy shot of three women. And, you know, you have to be realistic about how to market a movie, and obviously we want it to cross over. We would love for the straight audience to find it, and honestly, if they find it because they see three women on the, you know, the cover of the box and that makes them want to see the movie, well, you know, we'll take it. That's you know, that's the reality of the world we live in, and the filmmakers were, you know, savvy enough in picking a shot that I thought, you know, was a good way of marketing the film. So it somewhat speaks to the content of the film, but in general, it's just a fun shot. And if you really look at it, there's a lot going on in there.
And Then Came Lola stars your lovely lady, Kathy DeBono, who we had the privilege to talk to last month. And one thing I've noticed about you both is, and you vlog really, really amazing content as well, you have a new one coming up called The Gloves Are Off. Tell us a bit about that.
We've decided after, you know, a couple years of doing filmed and edited content, we found that live is what the girls want. They want interaction. They want to be able to talk to each other, interact with us, ask us questions. And so that's what this show is going to be all about today. What's going on today? Let's discuss it right now. Let's get your feedback. Kathy started doing live What's Your Problems, and she found that people responded and joined in the discussion in a way that was much more meaningful than the old school video blog of just leaving comments. And we want to take that concept and run with it. And it just seems like anything now we do, it's going to be a 2 or 3 week delay before it even gets up. So we want to discuss what's going on now, and with the political climate of Prop 8 and, you know, all the stuff that's going on in our community politically and around the world, we just feel like a live format is the most interesting way to go. And we're lucky enough to be on a website where they're not worried about censorship or, you know, the unedited reality of what happened. And, you know, we know there's going to be people calling in. Who knows what's going to happen? And that's part of the fun of it. And we're always up for that. We love to improvise in our acting. So this is just, you know, the next step, the next evolution of the video blog.
I was amazed at how big a following Kathy has, because I wasn't really aware of the CDB network or the CDB crew until I actually logged on to one of her live blogs. And the following she has is massive. And I was just blown away by that. And you yourself have your own weekly blog called The Violet Underground, which I checked out the other week. It's also on shewired.com. And you include everything to do with political activism and social activism as well on that.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. It's music, it's movies, it's, you know, it's politics, and we just kind of had this, you know, as we were doing, and we've been doing live feeds from Kathy's phone onto SheWired or onto her website, and we just felt like this is where it's going now. It's, you know, it's no longer good enough to have the film's video blog. People want to participate, and the other part of it that's great is exactly what the CDB crew is doing, which is they're creating their own, you know, network and friendships and community. And that's what we want to be a part of. We want to be, you know, we want to participate in that. We want to encourage it. And how you do that is live interaction with people communicating with one another, and people are forging friendships and finding people because they don't have a community where they live. And that's the most exciting thing to us. And that's why we've decided to do this show. I'm going to continue doing the Violet Underground. It's not going to be as often because we're going to be doing The Gloves Are Off once a week. But I just, you know, like I said, we both feel like live is the evolution now. It's, you know, they want to be able to talk back. They want to participate, and this is the best way to do it. So there will be a chat room, and you can call in, and if you want to, you know, talk to us or argue with us or whatever the case may be, we want to be a part of it.
That sounds like it's interesting times ahead, and trying to get everyone involved on a global scale as well. Do you get a lot of people from Australia tapping into the resources and having a chat with you guys?
Yeah, we do. We have people from all over the world, and it's been a big awakening for us. I mean, you know, we've both been doing stuff on the internet for the last couple of years, and to see the possibility of how it can bring us together, and, you know, it can solve the issue of feeling isolated. It can give you a community. We actually have a place now where isolated gay people can go and find each other. And to see what a difference that's making has been, I can't even begin to describe to you what it means to us. And, like, when we went to Tokyo, we went into a gay bar and people knew who we were there. And I looked at Kathy and I'm like, we're in Tokyo. Like, this is insane. Like, you know, and we talked to them and I was like, how do you know who we are? And she's like, the internet. And I was like, oh my God, you know, like it goes everywhere. And you know, it's the World Wide Web, but until you meet somebody from another country or talk to them, you don't realize that it's actually working. So it's an amazing resource for our community.
That's great. And as you say, you don't know until you actually get out there and visit other countries and find out who you are actually attracting and who you actually, your audience is.
It's been very surprising. And even, like, you know, some of the movies that I've done and Dante's Cove and In Her Line of Fire, where, you know, someone in Indonesia wrote me and said, I'm watching In Her Line of Fire on my local TV channel. And I'm like, really? You know, wow, you know, that's just amazing to me. So it's fantastic. It's our goal right now. One of our biggest goals is getting people onto the internet who don't really feel like they have a community, so that they know where to go and there is a place for them.
When we were speaking to Kathy, Jill, she told us about certain letters she'd received from people all over the world, including like rabbit holes in Iran, which we found was really compelling. And what sort of response have you had from people with your vlogs?
Probably, I mean, we get a lot of similar type letters. I mean, Kathy, being a therapist, gets, you know, obviously a different element as well. But something that I've been getting a lot of is the younger girls, like 14, 15 years old, who already know that they're gay, who are out to themselves and to their friends, and who are struggling with whether or not to come out to their parents. And, you know, I'm of course honored and I'm humbled that they come to me wanting my advice. And it's hard because obviously, you know, I want everyone to be out, but at the same time, they're in an interesting position that they're financially dependent, you know, they could get kicked out of the house. There's all these considerations, and so I can't just willy-nilly pop off this email saying, come out, it's the best thing to do. I mean, you know, it's a very complicated issue, but that's the majority of the letters that I get are the young girls. But the fact that they're even out at this age is amazing. You know, this is such a difference from when I was in high school, and I'm going to be 34, but I don't consider that old necessarily. But, you know, my niece now, who's 14, said to me, I asked her, and she grew up where I grew up, and I said, are there any gay kids in your school? And she looked at me like I was crazy. And she's like, of course there are. And I was like, are they out? And she said, yeah.
Wow.
Do they get teased? And she said, no, nobody cares. It's not a big deal. You know, to this generation who is plugged in and on the internet, they have such a different view of the world than we did. And it speaks volumes to what, you know, this kind of visibility is doing for us, is in that where I grew up in rural Indiana, which is one of the most conservative places in our country, my niece says it's not a big deal for somebody to be gay. That's
wow.
Amazing to me.
Wow.
Just the next project I've read about, which is interesting reading, Jill. Sweet Caribbean Cruise? What's this happening in November?
You know why he's excited, Jill?
I'm not excited.
He just saw
reads,
the 2,000 lesbians. That's why he got excited.
At sea. I love sea. I love the sea.
We're all very excited. this fabulous lady named Shannon Wentworth, who lives up in San Francisco, has decided to launch a new cruise line, and it's called Sweet. And I think they've got 3 or 4 vacations planned. They are green, and they also involve community service in with your vacation. So we're going to be taking out of New Orleans, so you have the option to come down a few days early and to help rebuild from Katrina. They're inviting all kinds of people on the cruise. We're going to be there with Suzanne Westenhofer and Aaron Foley and Gloria Bigelow and, you know, all these different fantastic entertainers, and that's going to be their maiden voyage out. And they're going to continue. I think they have one set for Africa and whitewater rafting. And it's a new take on vacation. It's like the eco vacation, community service minded green, which should fit right in with the lesbian community.
That's a great idea. I've never heard that before. So they're basically, if you rock up early, you can help out, do community service, and then you probably go around to the next port and see where you guys can get off and help out as much as possible, I suppose, and also with publicity.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think we're cleaning up beaches, like certain beaches, and it's like, you know, it's 45 minutes, but if 500 people do this, it makes a difference. You know, it's one of those things where there's 500 to 1,000 people who pitch in for 30 minutes, which is nothing out of your day of partying and drinking and hanging out with your friends. You can actually do some good. So we're thrilled to be a part of that. We're actually going to probably be filming part of our season 2 for We Have to Stop Now on the cruise.
So it's not all pleasure. There's a bit of business as well on board.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be doing all kinds of work. I mean, all the girls are going to be vlogging. Nat and Meg are going to be there. I think the Cherry Bomb girls are going to be there. It's, you know, it's like we're transplanting the lesbian Hollywood studio onto a cruise line for a week.
One thing when we're talking to Kathy about We Have to Stop Now is the kind of premise or the basis you've conducted the whole series on is that it's a very progressed gay storyline. Nothing stipulated about being gay or coming out. Why did you take that sort of, that sort of perception to that kind of context?
I really think it's, for our community, we're ready for it. I think we've seen enough of a coming out story. We've been seeing coming out stories for 10 years. So I believe our community is progressed to that point. And I believe as far as the mainstream community is concerned, that is the next progression they need to see. They need to see that we are normal people. We need to move the discussion beyond you tolerating who we are to you accepting who we are and understanding that, you know, we're your neighbors, we're your friends, we're your teachers, we're your police officers. We are just like you. We have the same issues you have. You know, there's nothing different in who we are. So, you know, I believe that's the next progression of where we should be going in gay entertainment. And the truth is I believe that a mainstream audience will be able to relate to it if we just play it that way instead of pointing out all the differences and, you know, how different we are. Let's just live our lives the way they really are, which is pretty much the same. You know, we obviously there's some cultural differences, but by and large, we're just all people. Mm. And, you know, I think that's where we need to move. We need to move in that direction because the media is, in my opinion, the most important tool that we have in our community for changing public sentiment and tolerance, which I hate the word tolerance because I think we're beyond tolerance at this point. You know, when someone says that they tolerate us, I want to strangle them, you know. That is one of the most insulting things I believe someone can say is that I tolerate you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think we need to move beyond that. So that was sort of our thought. And the writer of the show, she's straight. You know, she didn't even think about the need to make it gay. Mm. You know, the simple fact that we were a couple makes it gay enough. But we didn't need all these references to gay culture or anything because the truth is it's about relationships and relating to one another is universal, whether it's gay, straight, bi, whatever it is. It's all the same. We're just two human beings trying to make a relationship work.
Hey, it's Ginny from the Hump Day Crew. Thank you so much for tuning into one of our podcasts and for supporting Joy 94.9 and the Hump Day Crew. We will catch you next Wednesday from 6:30 a.m.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.